This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about what the world needs now. And I'm glad that you've joined us on the program. We appreciate your presence, and we hope that you are enjoying these programs each and every Saturday morning brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We are into our new year, and we're grateful for that. We appreciate you listening to us, and we hope that you are putting God first and Jesus Christ first and the Holy Spirit first in your life in 2019. And if we can help you to do that, we want to help you along those lines. Are you worshiping in a good church that matches the teaching of the New Testament? Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you praying? Have you become a New Testament Christian? Are you raising your family on Jesus Christ? Can we help you to do that? This is the time of year when people are making resolutions, and being a faithful Christian should be at the top of the list. Can we encourage you and help you to do that? Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where we can learn how to do that together. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. Come see us. We'd love to have you. 290 Warfield Boulevard. Call us if we can have a study with you, if we can talk with you about the spiritual changes that you would like to make in your life. Give us a call, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Or you can visit us on our website at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. And you can contact us there as well. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Please come and be with us, where we speak the truth in love. Friends, this morning I want to talk about what the world needs now, right now. And I want to talk about what the world needs. That's America and the rest of the world. A lot of times when we talk about what we need most in society, we tend to focus on things just of our nation. But what I'm talking about is for us in the United States and everyone else, the 7+ billion people all over the world, and what we need right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. You know, a lot of times if you were to ask someone, a friend or family member, what do we need right now? A lot of times things come up, and they are important things. And they're good things to talk about, and things that I would be in favor of having. But they're really not the most important thing. What the world needs now is not better secular education. A lot of times we talk about better education, better teachers, better curriculum, better public schools. Sometimes somebody will say, well, we need more jobs. We need to lower the unemployment rate and raise the employment rate and provide more jobs and infrastructure and getting people back to working and more income. Sometimes people talk about better health care, better Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Sometimes people talk about border security. We're hearing that a lot lately with regard to our president's plan to build a wall on our southern border, border security, tax reform, voter reform, and we could go on and on and on. There are a lot of things that people bring up as what we need, but none of that touches the heart and soul of the human being. Those are all good things, and in time it would be good to better those things and change those things. But that does not get to the heart and soul of a person. Friend, what the world needs now, and the world meaning you and me, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ contained on the pages of your New Testament. Chances are you have one with you in your home or even on your cell phone. The gospel is near us, and it's what we need the most. And so I want to talk about that this morning. It's interesting how that the thing we need most and that is close to us is that which is far away in many people's lives. They don't want the gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, and let's see how close the gospel really is to us. The gospel, reading it, hearing it, obeying it, following it in our life, is not some great challenging feat that is difficult to accomplish. It's actually within our grasp very easily to read and hear and obey and follow. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith, that is, being right with God, when we exercise our faith in Christ, we hear the gospel." Faith comes by hearing, Paul will say later in verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "That righteousness which is of faith says thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what says it? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Paul's point there is that we can exercise our faith, confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, call upon the Lord, obey the gospel. It's something that is near us. It's not something where we have to go way up into heaven and bring Christ down, or go down into the abyss and bring him back up. The word is near us in our mouth and in our heart. The word of faith, which Paul and others preached. What the world needs now is the gospel, the good news. The gospel means good news. Have you ever heard any good news? Have you ever given anybody any good news? We like to share good news with others as soon as we get it. We're excited about it. We should be excited about the gospel. We should share the gospel with others. We should want to hear good news. A lot of times we'll say, hey, do you have any good news for me? I need a pick-me-up. I need a positive message. Do you have any good news? What about the gospel? Do we want to hear some good news about how that our soul can be saved from sin, and how that we can go to heaven? People share good news all the time. They'll share good news about how that they're expecting a baby. They'll share good news about how that they've gotten engaged and that they're going to get married. They share good news about where to find a good deal or sale in town. What about something much more important than that, and that is being saved from sin? I want to talk about what the world needs now, and the world needs the gospel because there are some things that involve the world. First of all, the world needs the gospel now because sin is worldwide. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is a worldwide problem, and the gospel meets that worldwide need or problem. The wages of sin is death, that's spiritual death, separation from God and Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But thanks be to God, there's a worldwide remedy, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus can do that. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10, for to this end we labor and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. All can be saved, and those who actually believe will be saved. That possibility is for all mankind when those who believe accept that remedy in Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, shedding His blood for our sins. And so we have a worldwide need, sin. We have a worldwide remedy, Jesus. And then we have a worldwide call or invitation in the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's how God draws all mankind to Himself. He gives out a call, a message, an invitation, a drawing to Him. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that has heard from the Father and has learned comes unto me. Heard and learned. So the gospel is that worldwide call. Will you accept it today, friend? And then, Jesus, before ascending back into heaven, after His death, burial, and resurrection, before He ascends back into heaven, He gave His apostles a worldwide commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Give everyone a chance. And that gospel is still being preached today, friend. Right here in your community. Now we're going to see later in this morning's lesson that some people try to change that and alter that a little bit. I try not to do that. I want an unadulterated, pure New Testament gospel. That same one that was preached some 2,000 years ago. Jesus sent out His apostles. And we read in Mark 16 and verse 15, He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. So go preach the gospel to the whole creation. We find the same thing in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. So sin is the worldwide need. Jesus is the worldwide remedy. The gospel is the worldwide call. The preaching of the gospel is the worldwide way of convicting us of our sin and telling us how to be saved. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. When Jesus sent out His apostles to go preach the gospel, that worldwide commission, the way in which that was done was through men preaching the gospel. And so we have the worldwide conviction of sin. The apostles were guided into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. And when they preached that truth, the Holy Spirit, working through His words, accomplished this. Listen to John 16, 8 through 11. John 16, 8 through 11. And he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye behold me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. And so the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the apostles, would convict the world of sin. And so, friends, the gospel is what is needed today. We must speak it. Paul was obligated and bound and a debtor to speak the gospel, Romans 1:14, 1 Corinthians 9:16. We must speak it plainly. When Peter and John preached on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, Acts 4:29, they spoke boldly and plainly the gospel of Christ. We must speak all of it, the whole counsel of God. Paul did that, Acts 20, verse 20, and then later again in verse 27, he declared the whole counsel of God. We don't need to leave any of the gospel out. We must speak it to all. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go preach the gospel to the whole creation. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, everybody else, anybody and everybody. We're not to be a respecter of persons, no prejudice, no respecter of persons, no slighting anyone, no avoiding anyone. But speak it to all. And then we must speak it to all in love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. And we try to do that every week at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. In our sermons, in our Bible classes, in our personal conversation with others, we want to speak the truth in love. We want to do that in a kind and gentle way. We want to be forthright. We want to be plain. We don't want to condone anything that God does not condone. But all of that discussion is done in love. And we must speak it continually. Paul writes to preach the word in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not, when it's comfortable and when it's not, when we have time to do it and when we don't have time to do it, when it's easy and when it's hard. 2 Timothy 4:2. And so we want to always, on this program, as long as we can have the funds and the interest to continue this program, we want to always preach the gospel, be continuing about it, and in our local assembly and local church where we gather. Come hear that gospel, friend. If it's been a while, come back. If you've never heard it, come hear it for the first time. If you're wanting it and you've heard it in the past and that's something that you want in your life, come and let it be a part. Or if we can come into your home, we can bring the gospel as we carry a Bible. We can bring it right into your home and we can study wherever you want to study. What the world needs now is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, what we have in the world today is the gospel plus other things. And it's nothing new. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, even in his day when he wrote this book in the first century, after the pure gospel went forth, there would be others who would try to change that gospel, distort it, offer something a little bit different. And unfortunately, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, there were some, even Christians, who were taken away by other messages. Paul writes in Galatians 1 verse 6, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And later in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you? They were fooled by this other gospel that was a perversion of the one true gospel. And since this time, on down through time, there have been many people who have tried to take the pure gospel of Jesus Christ laid down in the New Testament and alter it and change it and modify it in some way. The world needs just an uncompromised, pure, simple, plain, unadulterated gospel of the New Testament. Today you'll hear other kinds of things being said. For example, some people preach what's called a friendship evangelism, where you're just friends with people, and that somehow gets them to convert to Christ. We certainly need to be good friends to people, neighbors, co-workers, at school, etc. But if you look on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41, Peter, on the same day that he preached to them, preached repentance and baptism. Some 3,000 were baptized. They didn't have time to become friends. Peter hadn't befriended them for weeks on end and months on end and years on end. He just met them on that day, and he was preaching to them. And some people, some 3,000, heard the gospel, and they were baptized. Let's be friends with people. But it's the preaching, hearing, and obeying of the gospel that people need today, even more than our friendships. Some want to preach Jesus, but not the gospel plan of salvation. They call it preach the man, not the plan. And that sounds real good, but it's not biblical. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, Philip had preached Jesus to the eunuch, and that involved preaching water baptism, because as they passed some water, the eunuch said, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? When you preach the man, you have to preach the plan. When you preach Jesus, you have to preach what it takes to believe and obey and get into Jesus. And that is repenting of our sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. So, when we preach the man, we have to preach the plan. If we do anything different, we've changed it. Some want to preach a social gospel. They want to preach a gospel that is full of recreation and social activities. So when you go to that particular religious group, there's such and such going on in the gymnasium and the youth camp and the fellowship hall and the rec center and the family life center and everything else. These things take care of the body, but they don't do anything to take care of the soul. And that's what we need the most. There's nothing wrong with eating. I love to eat. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. I love to play ball. There's nothing wrong with social activities with others. I love to be social with others. But that's not the work of the church. It's not what Jesus died on the cross for. Individual Christians can go about and provide these things individually and in their homes and other places like that. But it's not what Jesus died for. It's not the gospel. It's not the work of the church. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 27, work for the food that does not perish. He was providing the bread of life. He was providing a message that would save souls from sin. They had come simply to be fed again. He had fed the 5,000. Now they wanted to be fed again on the next day, and they followed him around the lake to get some more food. And he said, you've got to stop doing that. Don't work for the food which perishes, but that which lasts unto eternal life. Some want to provide a positive PMA gospel, positive mental attitude. Accentuate the positive. There are preachers and teachers, well-known preachers online, televangelists and megachurch preachers that won't mention sin. They won't mention anything negative. They won't tell you to get out of any sinful relationship. But we're to preach the truth. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, we are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Exhort, of course, is positive, but reproving and rebuking is negative. We need a balanced gospel. When we're doing right, encourage that. When we're doing wrong, expose that and be plain about it. That's how we can get out of that and start doing the positive things. Some emphasize the oratory, the speaking skills of the preacher. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, that I didn't come preaching persuasive words of wisdom. It's not about the oratory. It's not about the stand-up comedy. It's not about the slick presentation. It's about preaching the gospel. And then there are those who have what we might call a community church, mega church appeal, where anything and everything goes. All types of religious beliefs and backgrounds are fine. And it might be a church with thousands of members. Anything goes. And that's opposed to the singular, unified, one gospel of Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. The one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so forth. They say anything and everything goes. Whereas the New Testament gospel says there is one body of truth, and we must all conform to that. So the world offers a gospel that's been changed, and we certainly don't want to do that. I don't want to do that on this program. We don't want to do that in any way at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would love to preach to you that plain, simple New Testament gospel each and every week. You know, what the world needs, the world may not want, but we're still going to offer that anyway. What the world needs it now. Friend, you need the gospel now. Let me encourage you to obey that. And what the world needs, we have in our hands as we hold our New Testament Bibles. You have one too. I have one. We all have one. Let's be reading it, understanding it, and obeying it. The gospel will make an impact on your example. You'll be a better person for others around you. In 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, you'll be read as a Christian and people will know who you are. It'll make an impact on your words. You'll speak better. Colossians 4, verse 6, it'll make an impact in your life and you can go share it with others like the New Testament Christians did. Thank you for joining us on the program this morning. Let us help you with the gospel today and this year. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.